We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we conclude Pastor Marcus Burkeen's series on leadership. Marcus is an apostolic pastor for our Gateway Church Network, where he helps churches govern themselves in a healthy way by providing relational connection, leadership development, and other trainings. Let's listen in.
Hi, welcome back, Pastor Marcus again, and this is part three of a three-part podcast, and we've been talking a little bit about leadership and its results, and we started off talking about self-leadership. Good spiritual leaders know how to lead themselves well, and the best self-leadership is when a person prioritizes what they value most over what they want right now. And those two things will always be in conflict. So we talked a little bit about 1 Corinthians 13 and the way Paul contrasts the child and the man. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And then the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 talks about training and who by constant use have learned to distinguish good from evil. And so the ways that those things work themselves out in our behavior was part two of this podcast. And we talked a little bit about the marks of a spiritual leader. And the first eight of those are self-control. Person is relentless. They're patient. They're optimistic. They're intense. They take initiative, they're thick-skinned, and they're a hard thinker. And so I want to cover the last eight of those, or 16 total, that I believe there's probably more. It's not a comprehensive list by any means, but it just these are things that just seem to me to be the marks of a spiritual leader. And so the first one today is that person is articulate. They're articulate. It'll be difficult to lead others if you're unable to clearly state your thoughts and your vision influentially. In other words, we need to be able to put words to what we think and see. And it's very difficult to do that. Someone asked me one time, how would you describe the taste of a banana? And I have no idea. That question has stumped me for a long time. I don't know how I would do that. But really, the equivalent of that is what we're trying to do when we put words to vision. What do we think? What do we see? Where are we directing our team? Where are we going for this? Here's where this comes from in Colossians 4:4. Paul asks the church in the Colossae to pray for him. And here's what he asked, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And so it's a biblical thing to be able to speak clearly about what we think and what we see. We had a leader one time at Gateway. He's still a dear friend of mine. He's not at Gateway anymore, but he led a very large area of our church. And every time I spoke to him, I would ask questions about, you know, what are you doing and where are you guys going? And tell me what's going on over there in your area. And he would talk for 15, 20, 25 minutes. And every time I would walk away thinking, what did he just say? And he used words that were not in my dictionary. I really like him still to this day. He's a good friend. But he was not clear when he spoke. And it was a frustrating thing to me. And so I think a spiritual leader is a person who is articulate. They're able to say what they think and see. And it may take some time to work into that. But if you're going to lead people, it's important to be able to say it. Here's the second thing, is that a spiritual leader tends to be a good teacher. Tends to be a good teacher. A good teacher will ask himself the hard questions. You'll work through answers. You'll forecast where will be the points in what I say when people won't get it. And you'll think through those ahead of time. Again, state them clearly, but you'll be able to work through your answers until others can see what you see. Here's another mark, I think, of a good teacher is someone who can take the whole and arrange it into subjects and parts that will work together into a unified whole. In other words, if I can see the big picture, I'm going to have to break this thing down into however many parts there are, whether it's 3 parts or 10 parts or 20 parts. But break those things down and go through them individually. A good teacher is one who knows the problems others will have with the subject. And so in your teaching, you help them get past the problems as they listen to you. A good teacher can predict the objections. Think through those things. Plan your answers. You're concrete, not abstract. You're specific and not general. You're precise and not vague. You're vulnerable and not evasive. I'm not talking about telling your whole life story, but I think there's a good teacher is able to explain things in such a way. You know, if a student fails to learn, we ought to look first at the teacher, not the student. So the student does have some bearing on willingness, hunger, or do they take notes? Yes, all that's in place. But if a good student doesn't learn, that's the teacher's fault. And so I think a spiritual leader is going to be a good teacher. The next thing is that they're a good judge of character. And again, these things take lots of practice. But Jesus spoke about false prophets. And the thing about a false prophet is, you don't know they're a false prophet until a long time later. And most of the things that we need to be concerned about in our roles is people who are using others to climb the ladder and make a name for themselves. Man, when I sniff that out, I just, if I can't get rid of a person, you can bet they will never be promoted by me. Because I do not want, that's a character issue right there. Let me phrase it this way. This is what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've ever dealt with a lot of insurance, okay? But in a large sector, healthcare is no longer about healthcare, it's about making money. And so a person who pays for health insurance and then has a need is going to be in trouble, probably. Your car insurance, no longer about providing insurance. It's about making money. And so I hope I'm not stepping on any insurance, because there are some good insurance salesmen out there. And mine is great, but I've left a couple of companies before because their priority was no longer me. It was about getting their hands in my pockets and getting my money. I've been deceived, and as you have too. I've got a friend right now who's looking for a salesperson. It's going to be a very lucrative position, but when he interviews people, they want to talk first about how much money they're going to make, not selling the product. Well, you know what? He's not hiring them, right? And the reason why is because it's more about the money than selling the product. And so when I talk about a good judge of character, we're talking about serving people. God's going to make provision for us, but we're going to serve people. And so we're not doing our jobs for money. Otherwise, we're serving our jobs, or we're worshiping our jobs. Another word for serve is to worship. I'm not worshiping my job. I'm worshiping God. God provides. But there are people that will come into your organization that have poor character. And I think that we need to be prayerful about those things. And you promote a person who's good at what they do, but they have poor character. It's a decision that you'll regret for a long time to come. Here's the next thing is good spiritual leaders tend to be theologically oriented. Now, here's what I mean by that. I did not say a theologian. A spiritual leader is somebody who filters everything through the scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:16 puts it this way: a spiritual man has the mind of Christ. And that's really what I'm talking about. C.S. Lewis is a guy that I really, he died in November of 61, so he's been gone a while, and really his books got famous after his death, or more famous after his death. But he once said this, that he reads the morning paper with a Bible open on his lap. And I love that imagery because what it says is that I'm going to filter my culture through the scripture so that the scripture really is my primary culture and I'm judging everything by what the Bible says about it. That's what I mean by being theologically oriented. So let me talk about a thing that happened at Gateway one time. And I hope this makes sense to you, and I hope that this will really help you because I see this language all the time. But we were getting ready for a Memorial Day weekend. And so I was in a meeting. They showed the video that they were going to show. And at the end of the video, they were going to show this video at all of the Gateway campuses at every service as part of the Memorial Day. We honor people who have died in service to their country. At the very end of the video, it said this: our prayers go out to those who have lost loved ones. Now, that may not strike you as odd, but as soon as I heard it, I thought, no, our prayers go out to God, not to people. And you know, I started noticing this is part of our cultural language. The media, even Christian media will say our prayers go out to these people who've lost loved ones. Our prayers go out to the survivors of the... No, no. Our prayers go out to God. God heals. God redeems. God restores. People can't do that. So listen, our prayers don't go out to people. Our prayers go out to God. This is what I'm talking about. You don't have to be a pastor to notice that. You just have to be a leader who is oriented around the scriptures. Because everything we experience will filter in some way through the scriptures. And my friends, that is important. All right? So here's the next one is... they're a dreamer. A spiritual leader is a dreamer. Most people see only the problems and why we can't do that. We can't accomplish. Wait a minute. I want to dream big. Dreamers imagine what God just might be able to do. Let me give you some examples of this. Do you know that Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team? He's a dreamer. He had a different vision than his coaches did. And when people said no, he thought, I see it different. Did you know Beethoven was told by a music teacher that he had no talent? Beethoven. We're still talking about Beethoven, right? But not his teacher. Do you know Walt Disney was told that he was not creative enough? And he used to put all of his ideas in a drawer, a desk drawer. And his brother came in and found those things and started helping him put those things together. We need other people to dream big. But we need to dream. The world needs dreamers. Do you know Albert Einstein's teacher said, "You're not ever going to amount to anything." Albert Einstein. Do you know that DACA Records turned down the Beatles? Because the CEO said, I don't really like their sound. Well, a few gazillion people disagreed with him about that, right? Well, just imagine what God might be able to do through you. Just imagine. And listen, brother, some of the dreams you dream are God dreams. Don't put those things down because somebody says you'll never do that. Don't put that down. Write it down. Talk to your friends. Find somebody who can help you to do it. Here's the next thing is a spiritual leader is decisive. Decisive. 1 Kings 18, there's this great story of Elijah and he's battling the 450 prophets of Baal. And here's what Elijah said. This is 1 Kings 18, verse 21. He says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But get off of this tree branch. Make a decision one way or the other." And I love that. I mean, that has really encouraged me through the years because a leader cannot be paralyzed in between two choices. Now, I understand that there are risks to decisions, but I tell you what, I'd rather take a risk than do nothing. Yeah, and listen, yes, you'll make mistakes and your critics will jump on you for that. But you'll also pull off some great things for God. Soak yourself in prayer and in scripture. Get some wise counsel and then get up and go make a decision because the world needs it. Here's the next thing is that a spiritual leader perseveres. Perseveres. Galatians 6:9 says, "Don't grow weary in well-doing." Our culture demands immediate gratification. But that's really the opposite of perseverance. It goes back to what we were talking about, valuing prioritizing what we value most over what we want now. And perseverance says, I may not get the whole enchilada today, but I'm gonna keep working until I do. Most people quit when things get difficult. And one of the signs of covenant keeping is that a man knows how to draw from it. I say it. It's a Nehemiah anointing, because if you read the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah goes back to a broken down city of Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And here's what he told people: get a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. And what they were doing with the trowel was building the wall next to their house. They weren't responsible for the whole wall. They were responsible for the wall next to their house. What they were doing with the sword was fighting the enemy. How hard would it be to fight an enemy on one hand and build a wall with the other hand? But that's exactly what Nehemiah called them to do. And once the wall's built, you won't need the sword every day because the wall will keep the enemy at bay. Long haul is harder, but it pays bigger. That's the wall. The Bible says a big tree comes down by 1,000 little chops. So perseverance, brother, keep going. Here's the last thing, is that I believe a spiritual leader is a lover. He's a lover. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives." Love her. Man of God, love her. What would it profit a man if he gains a lot of stuff and loses his wife? What have we led people to if it leads to our own divorce? What is that? I'll tell you what the church needs today is men who know how to love their wives. Buy her flowers. Take her on a weekend alone. Compliment her in public. Touch her tenderly, not just at bedtime. Learn how to love your spouse. Learn what they like and dislike. Study her. Speak well of her. Learn how to love her. Let's pray. God, thank you today for these men of God who are growing. God, thank you that you remember that we're dust and that you're so patient with the process. God, if any of these brothers of mine are tempted to quit growing, I pray that you'll come alongside them and just give them the encouragement that they need to press in, to learn to distinguish good from evil, and to know that it takes constant practice to do so. God, thank you for your patience with us, that you never give up on us. God, we set ourselves to grow as leaders. We acknowledge our need for your help today. Thank you for coming alongside us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit mensummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.